standing in your love.
Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be ready to receive your word this morning, that we would be hungry, that our hearts would be open, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would minister to each and every one here. May you anoint my lips this morning, Lord, to speak the truth, and may we receive it and our lives be forever changed. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Galatians chapter 6, and last week we talked about sowing and reaping, and this is going to kind of be sowing and reaping part two. I just, as I began to study and everything, I felt like the Lord just kept bringing me back to this for us to get these principles right in our life. And so we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 6. Some of these verses you guys are going to say, didn't he preach on that last week? Yes, I did. And we're preaching on it again today. And so I pray that we would all receive what the Lord has for us. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is a principle. This is a fundamental truth. Okay? That you reap what you sow. So what you plant will grow. What you plant will grow. I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen the movie Secondhand Lions. Has any of y'all ever seen that movie? It's an older movie, but it's these two old men that are wealthy, and they're grouchy, and they won't spend any money, and they get a great nephew that comes and lives with them, and he's like, why have all that money if you won't spend it? So they decide to start spending money, and so they're spending money on different things, and so they decide to plant a garden, and the movie's based like from the 50s or 60s, and so it's all these traveling salesmen that come to their door, and this traveling salesman sold them all this seed to plant. And it's just a kind of a funny part of the movie. He's out in the middle of the garden, and each row, at the front of each row, it has a different vegetable sign, like, you know, radishes or tomatoes or whatever. I can't remember. I hadn't seen the movie in a long time. But every row is corn. And they're looking and they're like, corn, corn, corn. That's all. And they said, that salesman sure did get us, because they thought they were planting all these different seeds and all they ever planted was corn. And so what did they reap? They reaped corn. So what you sow is what you're going to reap. You say, Pete, you're crazy. What are you talking about, a garden here? I don't even know how to garden. I was just talking to Brandon and Kimberly about that. I have trouble growing grass. I'm not lying. I'm not a gardener, you know. But I do understand the principle that what you are sowing, it will grow with the Lord's help, with the rain, with the right circumstances. That those plants that you're putting in the ground are going to grow. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. So we all understand that sin can grab hold of any one of us if we let it. Sin is fun for a season. The Bible says that. That sin is fun for a season. Sometimes sin's exciting. Sometimes sin will get your physical, your emotions going. But if you're planting that in your life, you're planting those seeds in your life, the Word of God, this is a fundamental truth, this is a principle, that you will reap destruction. It will come. It may not come this week, it may not come next week, it may not come in a year from now, but eventually, if you sow to the sinful nature, you will eventually reap destruction. And you say, Pete, I've been doing it for years and I'm still good. I've been doing it all this time and the Lord hadn't struck me down yet. What about God's mercy? What about God's grace? But here it says, God cannot be mocked. He's not going to be mocked, that if you sow to the sinful nature, you will reap destruction. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, I really need to talk about what the sinful nature is. And you just go back one chapter in Galatians 5, verse 19, and it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. You know, that is kind of a funny statement in the world that we're living in today. Because these things that I'm about to read to you, they should be obvious to most people. But our world is so messed up in what they believe and what they say and how they're identifying with this and identifying with that. It's not obvious any longer. It's no longer obvious. But the Word of God says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. You think you're getting away with it, but you're not. You're not. You're not going to get away with it. And it is so prevalent in our culture, on our televisions, on our computers, on our phone, on commercials, on billboards, and the sexual immorality is just like engulfed our country. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry. We talked about idolatry last fall when I was kind of going through the Ten Commandments The things that we worship now, big houses, brand new cars, idolatry can be your sports. It can be, you know, what you're living for. Our Arkansas Razorbacks lost last night. Man, I had so much trouble falling asleep. I think it took me 3 minutes before I fell asleep last night. It was rough. You know what? When the last time they played Duke, and some of y'all weren't alive, but the last time they played Duke, and that's who they played last night, was in 93-94 season, and the Razorbacks beat Duke for the national championship, and that was the last time they played them. And they lost last night, but I had a friend that was at the game. He was in the Razorback band, and he said when we won the national championship, the confetti's falling, people's excited, people's cheering, and he said that in the midst of all that excitement, he said the question came to him, is this it? Is this it? And he gave his life to the Lord. He said, I thought we've reached the pinnacle, the national championship. You can't get any higher than that for a college program. And it felt empty. He gave his life to the Lord. He's a minister now. I think he actually runs the huge youth camp, for the Baptist in southern or southeast Arkansas somewhere. I've never been to it, but he dedicated his life to the Lord because he said what the world had to offer was empty. It's the idolatry that we strive so much for, and it's going to leave us empty. And witchcraft. You say, Pete, I don't dabble in witchcraft, Ouija boards, the reading the magazines and the newspaper with your astrology, is that what it's called, and all that, is dabbling in witchcraft. Hatred. Maybe I'm getting a little more where you guys are living here. These are the acts of the sinful nature. Do you have hatred for someone in your heart? Is there someone you can't stand to be around? Discord. There's people that I work with. There's people that I know. And they always want to stir up stuff. They always want to sow that discord. They always want to make things uncomfortable. They always want to bring up this. Jealousy. These are all seeds that get planted in us. Jealousy. Are you jealous of others and what they have of their families, of their kids, of their homes, of their wealth, of their jobs, of their title? And we allow those seeds to fall into our hearts and our lives. And if we're not careful, jealousy can lead us down such a wrong road. Fits of rage. The struggle. I don't know if it's close sometimes driving. I get so frustrated with people out and I mean, it's worse every week. People texting and almost hitting me. I pull up to people and they'll have their phones because I can see right there inside their car and they're swerving and moving. And I just want to blow my horn at them and roll down the window and scream, what's wrong with you? You're going to kill somebody. Got to be careful. Seeds planted in me. fits of rage. Selfish ambition. You look around and everybody's about number one, about their family, about what they can do to get ahead at work. Dissension, factions, and envy. All of our social media, to me, it promotes nothing but envy and jealousy. Look at me. Look at how wonderful I am. Look at my wonderful life. Look at how popular I am. We got to be careful what seeds we're planting in us, what seeds we're planting in others. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before. If you guys fell asleep for a second, wake up here. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Word of God says. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if this is your lifestyle, if this is what you're living. And so my question to you is what seeds are you allowing to be planted in your life? Is it the jealousy? Is it the sexual immorality? Is it the selfish ambition? Is it the envy? Is it the drunkenness? What seeds are you allowing planted in your heart and in your mind and in your life? You say those are our emotions. Pete, how can I do something about that? Those are all emotions. You're talking about emotions here. And you know, I can't help it how angry I get. I can't help it that jealousy comes upon me. I want you to think, though, maybe you can't help it the first thought, but you can take that thought captive. And that's what we need to learn to do when these seeds are planted in us from television, from coworkers, wherever it is, when these seeds are planted in us that we can, when you have that first thought, when you have that first motion, you stop and you say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You guys think I don't have to do that? I have to do that. At work sometimes, they're griping, they're complaining, they're moaning, they're groaning, and I've got something good to say, and I'll go to say it, and the Lord will say, Pete, what are you doing? And by stopping and not participating, I'm pulling that seed out. I'm getting my heart and mind clean from all those seeds that are scattered, all those evil seeds that are scattered throughout the week. I want you to think about the parable of the four soils. And in that, it says that when the seed fell on good soil, that it produced a crop of 30, 60, and 100 fold. And so some of you this morning, you might be saying, Pete, I'm so full of anger. Pete, I'm so full of lust. I'm so full of jealousy. I'm so full of envy. I'm so full of this. How can I ever get rid of it? Well, can I tell you that at some point in your life, that seed fell on good soil in your heart, and now you're seeing the results. You're seeing the production. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow. If you're sowing to the sinful nature, that's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap destruction. And for many of us, you think about how devastating that could be to think, man, if I'm struggling with anger right now, if I'm struggling with lust right now, if I'm struggling with jealousy right now, and I let it sit and it lands on good soil, how bad is it going to be a month from now, a year from now, 2 years from now? What kind of person am I going to be? It's going to be horrible because that's what's going to keep producing and keep producing and keep producing. Now, I was going to tell a story here, and it's been a while, so I hope I don't get in too much trouble. But Crystal and I, for our 20-year anniversary, you guys, some of you have been here long enough, you know this story. We went to Hilton Head, South Carolina, to the beach and spent a week at the beach. And our honeymoon, we didn't have really any money. And on our honeymoon, we took a road trip with my grandparents to Michigan to pick up a car. Boy, romantic, huh? So for our 20-year anniversary, we really wanted to do something. And we went to Hilton Head, spent the whole week there, just the two of us, and just had just a wonderful time. So in love and all that stuff, you know, just had a great week. And we get home, and I can't even remember. I promise, I can't remember. But we hadn't been home very many days, and we got in a fight. And we don't fight hardly at all. We every once in a while we'll bicker a little bit. Now, Lord, help me this week because there might be a fight coming since I said that. But we don't fight very much. But this must have been a bad enough fight that it stands out in my memory. And I promise, I don't remember who started it or anything else, but we got into a fight. And Crystal said to me, she said, I can't believe how quickly we went from one extreme to the other. We went from so in love to almost the, it wasn't hatred, but we were mad at each other. And then I'm sure it was me that apologized first. No, I'm kidding. I really can't remember, but it was one of those things that we got over. But you know, the extreme of things were great in our marriage to raw. I don't even want to be in the same room as you. And you think about that and you think, where did that even come from? How did that even get there? Can I tell you? In one of us, there must have been a seed planted. And the circumstances were just right to produce and cause conflict, cause the fight. I had a similar experience to that this year at one of my nephew's basketball games, Ethan's basketball game. And man, the game was neck and neck. It was a close game and fans were yelling and everything. And halftime came and Arkansas Razorbacks once again was playing the number one team in the nation. I might have already shared this story with y'all. And we beat the number one team in the nation. And so Travis, the announcer, got on the microphone at halftime and said, I just want everybody to know, if you're taping the game, cover your ears, but the Arkansas Razorbacks have defeated the number one team in the nation. And everybody started clapping and cheering and everything. And then before long, home team and visitors team was calling the Hogs. They was, woo, Big Sioux. I don't call the Hogs. I think it's weird. But they were all calling the Hogs and excited. And y'all, I'm not lying. The basketball game started back and the yelling and the screaming. A dad had to be escorted out. There was technical fouls. And I thought, how crazy is it that the whole gym just went from calling the Hogs and being excited and clapping to when their team started playing again to anger and resentment? Bad seed. You say, bad seed, Pete. They're just cheering for their own team. Bad seed. I don't care whose team you're cheering for. You shouldn't be ugly if you're a Christian. You shouldn't act like that as a child of God. There's this bad seed inside so many of us that causes such conflict, that causes such fighting. I'm going to go back to Matthew 13 now. Matthew 13, 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, While you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now this story, this parable is about us living in this world, and there's bad seed and there's good seed, okay? Even in the church, there's bad seeds and there's good seeds. But the reason why I wanted to read this is because he said an enemy did this. An enemy came and sowed that seed. And I was thinking about the subtleness of Satan and how he works. That little bit of gossip, that little bit of jealousy, that little bit of anger. And a storm comes, and all at once, that little bit that's been sown in your life, it produces a harvest. And it boils over, and then all at once you're full of anger. All at once you're full of hate. You're full of lust. You're full of jealousy. Whatever it is, when a prayer isn't answered and doubt comes, and then that harvest comes because the enemy has sown bad into you. I've told this story before, but I was a Christian, and I had a filthy mouth before I was a Christian, and the Lord delivered me like that from my filthy mouth. And but I was at work, and I'd probably been a Christian 2 or 3 years, and I got smashed. My arm was getting smashed, and this forklift was crushing my arm, and I hollered out this word that I had no business saying. And the guy driving the forklift started laughing so hard he fell off the forklift, doubled over. He said, "I've never heard a word like that come out of your mouth." And I said, "I don't know where it come from." I was embarrassed. Why did that word come out of my mouth? I was okay. I wasn't like, you know, I was okay. But he stopped before he crushed me completely. And but I was so embarrassed. But there was still that seed inside of me. I hadn't got it all taken out. And when pressure came, what came out? What came out? Many of y'all know I was texting everybody, "Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me," when I got hurt last year at work and got my arm smashed. And I'm proud to say a cuss word didn't come out when I got hurt that time. My first thought was, "I need my church family praying for me because I'm in pain." It wasn't that garbage. It was, "I need Jesus. I need healing. I need a touch from God." What seeds are planted in you? Hosea 10:12, we read this verse last week, but it's like I've just discovered this verse. So, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness upon you." And when I think about that, and I was thinking about the Word of God in prayer, and the Holy Spirit needs to be breaking up many of our hearts and pulling out those weeds and pulling out that the enemy has sown and getting in there and changing and transforming our lives so that when the tough times come, we know what's going to be produced. "One who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life." Romans 8:5 says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires." You hear that? If you're living according to the sinful nature, you have your heart set on what the nature desires. So that list that I gave you all a minute ago, if that's what your heart's set on, then you're sowing to the sinful nature. I remember before I was a Christian, and my heart was set on, who could buy me beer? How could I get drunk? What could I do to cause havoc? That's what my mind was set on throughout the week. There was certain places you could go, and there were certain people you could call that could get you a bottle or get you what you needed. And that was the whole goal. That was the whole mindset as a teenager. Is how messed up can I get? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. I've got underlined in my Bible there, life and peace, because I'm going to tell you something. If any of y'all struggling this morning with peace, I challenge you, get your mind set on God. Get your mind set on the things of God. Get your mind set in the right places, and not on the sinful nature, but on God in the Spirit, and you will have that peace. If you have no peace this morning, I challenge you, open up your Word of God. Begin to pray. Begin to ask the Lord to show you, what do I need to fill my mind with? Not the things of the world, but the things of the Spirit. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit that lived in Jesus Christ is living inside of all of us if we are believers. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. You hear that? An obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to that. Is it not so easy, it seems like, to live according to the sinful nature? We just go and do and we don't have to think about anything. And it's the way of the world. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. And it's going along with the world and it's going along with everybody else. But we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature anymore. Verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the mindset or the misdeeds of the bodies, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So what are you living for? What seeds are you planting in your life? What are you seeking out? Is it peace? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it meditating on the Word of God? Or is it the things of the flesh and the things that will bring destruction? You say, Pete, I'm young, I'm fine. No. We're not promised tomorrow. Last weekend, remember I shared with y'all, a 16-year-old killed just right over here. We're not promised tomorrow. You don't have time. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day. We're about to finish up here. Galatians 5:22, because I didn't want everything to just be about the sinful nature. But Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you full of love this morning? Of joy? Do you have joy? Do you have peace, it says? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And so my question to you is, are you planting good seed in your life and so that the fruit of the Spirit is being produced? Fruit is what's produced. Are you more loving this week than you were last week? Are you more full of joy than you were last year? Are you more full of peace than you was 6 months ago? Are you full of kindness? Are you showing kindness to people? Are you full of goodness? Are you full of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? And you say, it's a fruit, it's supposed to be produced, but can I tell you, there's still times that I have to work on that in my life, and the main one that popped out to me was self-control. With food. I like to eat. I like to eat a lot. And there's times, I'm not lying, that I'll get out of my truck and I'm walking into McDonald's or I'm walking into a gas station to buy my lunch. And I'll feel like the Holy Spirit says, you don't need to eat that much. Get the small fries. Get the single cheeseburger. Or get oatmeal. I had oatmeal the other day, and the lady's like, I don't think we make oatmeal for lunch. I said, yeah, I've got it here before. You say, oatmeal for lunch? Self-control! That's just me! I fight it every Sunday! You guys come with me to Mark and Demetrius sometimes, and you're gonna see what I experience. All this good food and cake and cookies, and when I can't stop! I eat and I eat and I eat! But the Lord has to show me, and the Holy Spirit has to show me, self-control in every area. If it's too much television, if it's too much media, if it's too much time on your phone, and I don't believe my phone when it tells me, gives me my report. I ain't been on my phone that much this week, and it gives this report every Sunday. And sometimes it's like, wow, I need to put down my phone if I'm really on it that much. But y'all, these are all fruit that should be being produced in our life. And I want to challenge you this week. to really think about when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're on your phone, when you turn on the television, what's being planted in my heart? What's being planted in my heart? Is it good seed? Is it bad seed? When I'm around certain people, are they planting good in my life or are they planting bad? When I'm around certain people, am I planting good in their life or am I planting bad? Am I lifting them up or am I bringing them down because I gather along with everybody else and act like everybody else? Last verse is here, 2 Peter 1, 5-11. And it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness, and to the godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." It says that we should be making every effort to add that to our lives. Can I tell y'all, whenever I have to get retested every 4 years over hazardous material to keep my license, and I don't deal with hazardous materials that much. And to pass this test, you gotta know everything about hazardous materials. And a lot of the things that I gotta know, I'm never gonna transport, so whenever it's time for that test, I make every effort to pass it. I study, I do practice tests, I do all this. You know why? Because if I don't pass that test, I lose my job. So I'm really, really studying when it comes time for that test every 4 years. And as I think about that, and I think about that effort that I put into that, and I think, do I put that same kind of effort into the Word of God, into living for Jesus Christ? Do you put that kind of effort in adding to your faith goodness, into your goodness knowledge, and in self-control? And are we really seeking this out? Verse 8 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive." You ever feel ineffective and unproductive in your walk with God? Right, here's the formula. Begin to seek out these qualities in increasing measure. And verse 9 says, "But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, 100 years from now, this is going to matter. You know what? 5 seconds after you've died, this is going to matter. How big a house you had, how nice a car you drove, how educated you were, how much money you made, how many followers you had, none of that's going to matter. But he says that if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you're not going to be ineffective and unproductive anymore. In verses 3 and 4 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." He says that He's given us everything we need to escape these evil desires. He's given us everything we need to escape these evil desires. But I believe that so many are not escaping their evil desires and they're given into temptation because they planted bad seed in their life and they're continually planting bad seed in their life and they can't find victory. You plant holiness, you plant righteousness, you plant the Word of God, you plant that time of prayer in your life and watch and see. 30, 60, 100-fold won't be produced in your life of righteousness. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would truly meditate and think about the things that we're planting in our life. If it's been evil, if it's been the sinful nature, that we would repent of that right now. If it's been righteousness and goodness and the fruit of the Spirit, Father, I pray that we would begin to see the harvest of that, Lord, and that we would see in each and every one of our lives that we would no longer be ineffective and unproductive. Father, that when we're at home, when we're with our children, when we're with our family, when we're with our coworkers, that they might see you in us and that we would be planting good seed in those around us. Holy Spirit, have your way now with each and every life in this room. And may this not just be another message, but may it change our lives. May you transform us and may we be so mindful of what we're allowing in. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If anybody needs prayer this morning, you're welcome to come. I'd love to pray with you. But I encourage you to reflect on your own life and think about, what have I allowed in? Is it bad or good? What have I been meditating on? Is it the things of God or the things of the world?
At the foot of the cross.
You know, most great athletes have talked about it's repetition. Paul talked about in the Bible about running the race and making his body submit, you know. And so most great athletes talk about the repetition of doing something over and over and over to become the best. And so I want to encourage you, if you failed, get up and let's start doing it the right way. Let's begin to do things the right way repeatedly. You know, there was a kid that was, I think he was Keaton's age, and he was a fantastic baseball player. And he traveled every weekend, every week, won the Little League World Series. His family just knew he was going to be a professional baseball player. And, you know, he didn't even end up playing college baseball. There was so much time and so much effort put into that young man, and he is a good young man. I hadn't seen him in a while, but he's a good young man. But there was so much time and so much effort put into sowing that seed to become a professional baseball player. And he didn't make it. Y'all, things in this life, things in this world that we put so much effort and so much time and so much energy into, it's going to leave you disappointed. But when you sow into the kingdom of God and the things of God, He remembers. And you will reap the reward someday. May not be here, but someday when we stand before Him and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Make sure you're sowing into that.